In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. Israel had always wanted freedom. Ever since they've gotten out of Egypt, it had been the pursuit of their lives as a nation, driven by this desire to be free. And as they had wandered in the wilderness with God, they didn't believe that was true freedom. And so as they had entered into the promised land of Canaan, as they had had their judges arise over the centuries, they didn't like the freedom that they had. And so the people of Israel reached out to God one day and demanded that they could run their own lives. Let us run our nation. Give us a king. Let us be in charge of ourselves. With a king, with our own chosen ruler, because Egypt, they forced slavery upon us with their own rulers. Let us be in charge of ourselves. Then finally, we will be free. And God reluctantly gave them a king. And he said, okay, you can be in charge of yourselves, but I'm warning you. This is slavery. This is disaster for you. You think being in charge of yourselves will bring you freedom, but it will only bring you slavery for your women, your children, and your men. Men who will go die in wars for your great nation. Women who will be slaves to your king and doing all of his dirty work and being his concubines. You will be put to work to serve your own desires. So be in charge of yourselves and have fun. And when you call out to me, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to let you be in charge of yourselves. Over 200 years of being in charge of themselves, and it was a disaster. And as the prophet Isaiah is speaking to them in Isaiah chapter 61, this path of freedom is coming to its completion, collapsing all around them. Assyria has destroyed them in the north. Egypt has taken its chance from the south. And now Babylon from the east is wiping them out. Destruction on every side. This is what freedom looked like. This is what being in charge of their own lives looked like. But Isaiah continues to call out to them, urging them into a real kind of freedom. A freedom where they are no longer in charge of themselves, but they submit themselves wholly to God. And in that day, when the Spirit of God is in charge of every thought and decision of their lives, then the prophet tells them, you will truly be free. The captives will finally be set free. The broken will be healed. The blind will have sight. And restoration will come to the land and to the world that has been devastated by your pursuits of so-called freedom. All of Jesus' ministry was focused on freedom. From the moment he began preaching, and everything that he did in his actions, from releasing people from the bondage of the spiritual forces that were holding them in prison, he was giving them exorcisms, to the healings of the physical bondage that they were in, healing them from their physical afflictions of all kinds, to calling to them and saying, drop everything in your life, leave it all behind and follow me. Everything that Jesus did, everything that he taught, was trying to show people a true freedom. But they thought they were free already, and so many of them balked at Jesus. What do you mean, leave everything behind? I've already got it all. I'm already free. But Jesus insisted that they were slaves in so many ways that they had never thought of or perceived. And at the height of Jesus' preaching about freedom, he said, if you want to be free, you have to say no to yourself. You have to deny yourself, your ego, your heart, your desires. You think you're free, but you're prisoners, stuck in slaveries of so many different kinds. As Jesus progressed through his ministry, the people continued to fall away from him. He was preaching a freedom, but to them, his life looked like a life of a slave. He was constantly giving himself for others. He was never pursuing his own dreams. He was laying down his life for others. He had no wealth, no power. Where's the freedom in that, Jesus? And he died a slave's death on a cross as the Roman Empire crucified him as an enemy of the state. Jesus, if you were going to bring us freedom, you needed to destroy Rome. Rome's killing you. Where is your freedom? But Jesus had been raised from the dead 3 days later, and a whole new world began being opened up for the disciples. And he appeared to them over 40 days. And as we celebrate the ascension today, the disciples watched Jesus that day rise above it all. As he was lifted up in the air, a powerful symbol of Jesus' profound freedom that he had found in God. That as they were stuck in the muck and the madness of the world, and all the slaveries of their own selfish pursuits, and the slaveries of their families, and the slaveries of the nations around them, Jesus was rising above it all, ascending to God's realm, lifted above the slaveries of human design. They saw that day as Jesus was lifted up into the clouds, not a man leaving them, but a man who was truly free. A man who had risen above all the madness. This Jesus was the one who couldn't be controlled by anything. No force, no nation, Rome, Israel couldn't control this man. His own family couldn't control him and put him in a box. And even Jesus' own heart and desires couldn't control him. He belonged totally to God. He had risen above all of the slaveries of our world. The first truly free man. This freedom is what Jesus' whole life and ministry was about. This freedom is really what the prophets are constantly calling the people into. And in our culture, in our world, our rhetoric is thick with talk of freedom. We think we are the freest people in the whole world. We think Americans are the truly free ones. But what is it that really drives the freedom of the rhetoric in our culture? Is it not just what Israel and so many nations before were pursuing as a dead-end path? We believe that the wealth, the money that we can build up in our capitalistic system makes us free. If only we have more money, we will be free. More choices, more things to buy. But is the one with more money truly free? Or maybe just a slave to money? A slave to the endless consuming, the buying. We think that as the most powerful nation in the world, we got the biggest army, we spend billions of dollars more than anybody else and having the most sophisticated weapons and bombs to kill and destroy. This ensures our freedom. At what cost? Who has to die and be destroyed and obliterated in the name of our freedom? Are we not a slave to having more bombs, bigger bombs, better weapons than everybody else? Who's really free? Who's really the slave? Oh, and our culture constantly tells us, follow your heart. Do what feels good. Chase your dreams. You can be whatever you want. You're your own boss. You're your own master. Follow your heart. It'll take you to freedom. In some sense, I feel like every Disney movie I've ever watched tells me to follow my heart. But how many of us, as we've lived years and decades, we've realized that, wow, my heart really leads me into terrible places. That when I run my own life, I'm a disaster. When I chase the desires of my body and flesh, holy cow, how many people can I hurt in that pursuit? To be free, really? My heart is going to lead me to freedom? Maybe my heart is the greatest prison master and slave master I've ever met. We have to rethink what it means to be free in light of Jesus' story. That maybe so many of the things we've bought into about freedom are just fundamentally lies. That running our own lives might be the greatest slavery there ever was. That me being in charge of my own life is even worse than some other guy, some president or tyrant or ruler of any kind running my life. That maybe even worse than that is when I run my life. And so Jesus is calling us into a profound new freedom that starts in the heart. And he says to us again today, deny yourself. Shut it down. The desires within you are a slave master. Those dreams that you think will give you everything you wanted, they will destroy you. Let go of your self-planned, self-desired life. You are just a slave master. And outside of this, it grows. For as Jesus shows, as we can be free within, then all of the things around us start to no longer control us. When I am no longer a slave to myself, then I can bump one circle out to my family. And I am free to love them, but they will no longer control me. Their expectations and desires will no longer put me in a prison. And as I bump out from that to our communities and ultimately our nation, when I am free within, then Trump or Congress or Hillary or whoever is in charge, they have no say over my life because I'm free. I am free because I belong wholly and solely to God. Not to myself, to God. And so as we remember Jesus ascending this day, rising above the madness and the slaveries of our world, let's remember true freedom. That it starts within. That we are our own worst enemies. We need to die to ourselves, our own desires, our pursuits to be in charge of our lives. And when God sets us free within, then the freedom we've been yearning for on the outside will flow from that center. Freedom for the captives. Sight for the blind. Healing for the broken. A beautiful vision that Isaiah gives us that Jesus fulfills. May we pursue that vision with every fabric of our being, with every ounce of our heart. As Moses had taught the people, may we love the Lord our God with all of our strength, with all of our might, with all of our hearts, with all of our power, with everything that we have. For when we belong wholly to God, then we are finally free. Amen.